No, have a listen to this. Yeah, there you go. That's the unmistakable sound of the cuckoo in all its glory, arriving in April, leaving in July. It's a fascinating bird, a bird that horrifies many of you out there because of its actions in relation to how it gets somebody else to rear its own young ones and its own chicks, and what the chicks do to the other eggs in the nest. Long been a fascination, long been a key part of Irish heritage and flora and fauna and folklore as well. Indeed, well, there is a project which got underway yesterday, and that was announced and launched yesterday, has gotten underway, and this is a project to find out more about the cuckoo, to find out more about how it travels from Central and Southern Africa all the way here to Ireland. The Cuckoo Tracking Project. It's been undertaken by the National Parks and Wildlife Service in collaboration with the British Trust for Ornithology. Three of the Irish cuckoos tagged are from Killarney National Park in here in County Kerry. The fourth is from the Burren National Park in County Clare. To find out all about it and find out why we're so fascinated with this bird, I spoke to Sam Bailey, the National Parks and Wildlife Service Conservation Ranger and Director of the Irish Cuckoo Tracking Project.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely fascinating. So we have got, there's been a project that has been running in Britain for the last 10 or so years by the British Trust for Ornithology to start tracking some of the cuckoos there and finding out where they're going, what they're up to, and sort of not only sort of where they migrate to, but what they do when they're actually in Britain as well. So, you know, the movement they do down, the movement back, and what they're doing in their home range, because they're, as you say, they're a bit of a weird species, that they don't have their own nest, so they don't have like a location that they're necessarily tied to. They can move around quite a bit even when they're here. They've gleaned quite a lot of information on what their birds do, and what we were hoping and looking to do with this project is we've tied in with them to include some Irish birds into it, because our birds are potentially slightly different. They're breeding and on the very western edge of their the species' area. So they breed right the way from from Ireland right the way across to China. So they have a really large area in which the species is present. And they actually did some studies over in China a few years ago as well. And the birds from China also, migrate all the way down to Africa. So they go this long journey going across as well. So it seems that all the birds are potentially going to the same location, but they potentially take lots of different routes. And that those routes can obviously make a big difference in how a species is surviving. So some of those routes could be better or worse, or and could be affecting how the birds survive. So that is one area that we're potentially looking at, finding out where they're going, what direction they're choosing, and whether that has a bearing on how they're doing.
Yeah, because we've seen a decline of 27% in breeding distribution between the first national census between 68 and 1972, and the most recent one between 2007 and 2011. In the UK, the decline is almost double that. At 40%.
Yeah, it's gone up a bit more, and there's potentially lots of factors involved, but we're not exactly sure. So what's interesting is they found out in the UK is so the Scottish birds seem to be the majority of them seem to take a more easterly route, going through Italy, and then down through Africa that way. Whereas the English birds, a lot of them seem to take more of the western route round the sort of Spain, Iberia, and down that way. And that seems to be the less favourable route. So the Scottish population is actually doing quite well, but as a whole in Britain, including England, they're not doing so well. You know, obviously there's a better, more of a decline. But in Scotland, they're doing better than the rest of... so it could be that because they're taking that more easterly route, that is actually having a major bearing on the population.
Sure. Now, tell me about what's happened in the national park. A number of birds have been tagged.
That's right. So what we've done this year, the aim was to get four birds tagged, and we've done three in Killarney National Park and one in the Burren. And the three in Killarney, they're all males, by the way. The birds that have been tagged are all males, and that's done on purpose because they are the males are bigger, quite a lot bigger than the females. And the tags that we put on, they're only 5 grams, so they're actually not very much, but they have to be a certain percentage of the weight of the birds. And females are just a bit too small to be within the threshold, just so that because obviously we don't want to affect the birds in any way. If we were to affect them, then obviously we wouldn't be getting a true picture of what they're doing, so that would be pointless. So we want to get a true picture of how they're migrating, what they're doing, and with some way that, you know, that doesn't affect them. And these tags have proven to show that. And so the tags are literally little tiny, as I say, 5 gram, little, like a backpack, a little backpack that sits on the back. And they've got a series of tiny little solar panels, which keeps the battery going, and quite a long aerial, very fine aerial, which then is transmitting to a satellite. And so we're getting regular feedback from the satellite of where these birds are to very, very good location within sort of, almost down to the exact bush that they're in. So we can track their movement all the way down, to wherever they're heading, what they're doing, and then all the way back.
Yeah, and for, you know, from what you're seeing in terms of where they land every year, that they're moving in Ireland kind of westwards and northwards as to, but not why exactly that has happened. So this will help fill in that picture, I suppose.
Well, exactly. This is the first step, and my hope is that we will potentially do other birds in other years, maybe in other areas of the country, so that we can see if there really is a geographic issue going on, and whether, you know, there's something different going on between the different birds in different areas.
Yeah. Because I'd imagine, depending on the species involved here, in terms of who the cuckoo picks to rear its young, if there's pressure on that species, there's pressure on the cuckoo, I suppose.
Exactly.
There might be a parasitic relationship, but it's symbiotic, I take it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, very much so. I mean, there's lots of things. And so in Ireland, the main species that that cuckoo use as a for their host is meadowpipit. And meadowpipit is now on the red list in Ireland. So
yeah.
it's a species which is in heavy decline. It's one of those issues that, you know, is like anything in conservation, there's more than one angle. There's lots of factors that potentially can come together that can affect what's going on. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is an amazing, amazing opportunity, amazing bit of research, where we can start getting some true information on one of our most enigmatic species, that we have. Everyone loves the cuckoo, but we know very little currently about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And look, do you ever get anyone finally, Sam, who says, why would you want to study the cuckoo, a horrible bird that does horrible things?
What's fascinating is that it's, sort of some of what it does actually sort of enhances the parasitic birds. So, for example, things like the meadowpipits, as a general rule, from what we gather, they're actually, there's this whole sort of symbiotic relationship going on where the female lays an egg, the female cuckoo lays an egg in a meadowpipit's nest, for example. And over years, those meadowpipits can actually change their egg color a little bit by little bit, to make them stand out a bit more obvious. So actually they prevent themselves, or they can pick out the invading egg eject it. So they're actually...
That's evolution at work.
There's this amazing sort of lot of evolution going on. And so you potentially are... What happens is maybe the poorer, less able meadowpipits within the population don't do so well.
Yeah.
Whereas the more able, more switched on, more knowledgeable ones... do better.
Yeah.
And so there is actually enhances the species that are being hosted
or used as hosted. And there's another way of looking at it. A certain type of person would say the cuckoo is a genius. Why do the work when someone else will do it for you?
Well, exactly. I mean, it's a fascinating species. I mean, we believe that some of it is to do with food supply. So I don't know if you're aware, but cuckoos, adult cuckoos, only feed on hairy caterpillars.
Right. Okay.
That's the only thing they eat. And so for in Ireland, we have hairy caterpillars. The majority of hairy caterpillars we get are in the early part of the year.
Ah.
So in the, you know, sort of May, June time. And then we don't get that many later on at all. You know, there's a few species, but not many, that we get later on in the year. So actually, there probably wouldn't be enough to sustain them, you know, to be able to survive. So they actually need to then, you know, so they can't stay, they have to leave. So it's all, you know, it's all part of that evolution of a species. How on earth, which bit came first? Did the, you know, the hairy caterpillar or the parasitism, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to work out.
It's an amazing sort of species.
Yeah.
And they are quite different than anything else.
Brilliant. Well, Sam, look, thanks for explaining it all for us. We look forward to the results and more information on our enigmatic cuckoo. But thanks for talking to me this morning.
No problem at all. Anytime.